coming up next in this episode.
The title of this podcast is Can You Handle the Truth? Because the truth is that you created all this. And I created all this. I created those opportunities for me to fall. I created the slip and the slam. And I created those opportunities to see clearly that I've given my energy, my emotions, and I've let it be outside of my body to care for people in a way that I wasn't willing to care for myself. I have so much to share with you, and I know this is a long podcast, but stick with me because I promise you it'll be worth it. I have learned so much in the last 4 months that I want to give it to you. And I want to share with you the PhD I feel like I've gotten in energy and vibrational medicine and really understanding this game. And I do know that I'm winning and I want you to win. Hello.
Hello, everyone. Kelly Kennedy here and the Flow Podcast. I'm actually doing a solo cast today, and I'm doing a Sound of Soul, putting on my heart rate monitors so that we can create a song together so that really and truly from my heart to yours, you can hear the story of the slip and the slam of the last 5 months. So for those of you who are new to the podcast, welcome. If this is your first podcast, you might not want to make this your first podcast. Because I'm jumping into the story. And if it is, please go to like maybe the first five podcasts and then start to jump around at what calls to you. But really, when I started Flow Podcast over 4 years ago now, it started because I wanted to share with the world what I knew about how the body worked. And I had really felt beyond confident that when you apply this framework of bioregulatory medicine, when you truly address the interference fields of dental foci and scars on the physical body, then you can truly just upregulate the system and you can assess it quantitatively through live blood analysis, through heart rate variability, through contact regulation thermography, and through a myriad of other bioresonance technologies that really assess the subtle energy of the body and really signify what the terrain is doing. And so that's why I started this podcast. 140 episodes into it, we've delved through from how to learn more about your divine heart through Rasmus, through learning more about your lymph and your fascia, through more about the dental piece, through the emotional piece, from bringing I and my husband into the equation, our little secret weapon here at the True Wellness Center. But I've been a little remiss, or I've missed you all, and maybe you've noticed that I've been kind of behind the scenes for the last 4 to 5 months. And if you don't know why, I'm here to share with you why. So I am a Aquarian. I don't even know where to start this story, to be honest with you. So I'm going to start with putting my heart in. So I'm going to start with putting Sound of Soul on. So I'm going to share a screen and let you see how I do this, because I think that's important as well. That's it, right? So you're in here. KK. So I'm going to pick, this is my heart. These electrode leads are connected to me. And it's connected to the Sound of Soul technology equipment, which is going to take my frequency of light and sound and bring it into the octave that we can all experience together. Because I really do want to share my heart with you all in a deeper way than probably I've ever done. And I know many of you who have listened to my podcast for the last few years go, Kelly doesn't seem like she's the type of person that holds things back. Well, I'm here to tell you that I've been actually holding my tongue. I wasn't really conscious of the fact that I was holding my tongue, but I was. So take a breath with me. I'm going to turn the volume down a little bit so I don't compete with my own heart sounds. But I'll make this audio. It'll do two things. One, it'll keep me in my heart. And two, it'll give you not only the experience of today's podcast and learning about my slip and slam, but will also tell you how peculiarly aware I am right now, my sympathetic nervous system. So you're going to be able to watch my Sound of Soul and my regulation through this as you hear me tell my story of what's occurred for me in the last 4.5 months. So 26 years ago, I was introduced to this medicine because of a horrible car accident that I was in.
And my father having had Hodgkin's, I was at Cornell University and wanted to become a doctor. I didn't want to be sick. I didn't want to live in a pain my whole life. And so for me, pain was chronic illness. I was very athletic, and I was on the rowing team at Cornell. And then I was in a horrible car accident. And then I was living in pain from a compression, fractures in my vertebrae, lost a couple inches in height, have a 12-inch scar on my head for being scalped in that same car accident, and had lacerated my spleen, which is your largest lymphatic organ. So it was really setting me up for a life of pain and holding on to my crap. And I started to really seek, like so many of us do when we are dealt a hand that we are not happy with, and finding a different answer. And so I found energetic medicine. I found Ian Kennedy, who's now my husband and my partner and my life and my business, and as a father with me, with our son. And I really felt like I got a master's degree in the last 26 years. And then I was really just feeling very good. I know none of you have been like this, but I was like, all cylinders were going. I was feeling amazing physically, emotionally, more grounded than I've ever felt in my life. This is the summer or spring of last year, fall of last year. Just feeling like, oh my gosh, I've figured it out. Like, one, we have a clinical practice that I love and we get to help all the clients. You know, they're willing to do the work. They're going to get better. I love my husband and my son and the family we've created. And while there have been challenges throughout the years, I really feel like where we've gotten to and be able to communicate and to fully be vulnerable and feel safe has been a true lesson, a true unfolding, and we're there. So I feel really good about that. Felt like my kid was in a good school system, and it was not a non-traditional school system that was like unlearning, learning how to learn and all that, and felt really good about, we just bought a new house and felt good about the environment. We were living in the home. Like, I had a great team. I finally got all the right people on my team. Everything's going really well. And I'm about to turn 50. My husband just turned 65. He just went on a huge journey where he went to India, which is one of his life goals that he wanted to do. And like, everything was just going so good. And I was milking it, as we learned from Abraham Hicks. I milk it. I tell all my friends, oh, I'm doing great. We go to set intentions, and I'm like, I got no attention to set because I got no desires, because I'm feeling so good. And I know how the body works, and I'm feeling like I can help anybody. And I'm looking forward to doing body work the rest of my life, and I want to teach this to people, and I'm so excited. And then January 19th, I fell on ice. We got snowed in. I was supposed to travel that day to Florida with my husband and son for my 50th birthday celebration, to an area of the country that I had just recently discovered and that I had fallen in love with and wanted to buy our second home there. We had just sold a second home in South Carolina that wasn't warm enough for me. So I figured a little farther south, and I loved it and wanted to bring them down to this area in Florida. And as it would have it, we got snowed in and we couldn't fly out that day. So we made the best of it, as we do. And we went sledding and everything was great. And I came home and I wanted to walk the dog. And I argued with Ian about who was going to walk the dog. And here's where the lessons. I argued with him without fully communicating with him what was going on for me. And I'll get to that in a second. And so I argued with him. I went and walked the dog. And within 100 yards of our house, I slipped on black ice. And I dislocated my shoulder and broke my olecranon process, my elbow on my left side. I didn't know at the time. I broke my left elbow. I was in a lot of pain. We flew the next day. I went down to Florida. I got coherence healings from my friends. I got magnetic resonance treatment. I was wearing my Weber light watch. I was using my mind body matrix cream. I was using my somnium cream. I was taking my minerals. I was using my blocks. I was taking my flow vibe. I had my toolkit with me. I had my strategies. I had my mechanisms. I didn't need to listen to anybody. I didn't need an x-ray. I knew this wasn't broken. I had done tests on myself to figure out if the joint was broken, and I had determined it wasn't, but I was wrong. This 12 days later, when I was in so much pain and the swelling was so intense and the lack of sleep was really getting to me, because I couldn't find a comfortable position. No matter what I did, I was in pain. And I finally got an x-ray and I found out it was broken. And so I continued with my schedule. I did cancel a weekend retreat, a weekend class at that point. I was supposed to teach for 2 days, the level one and two rather of what I do. And now that I had a broken elbow, I called myself out. Now I know I have a broken elbow, so Kelly, you got to slow down. You know, really cancel, push this class off. So I gave myself 2 months and pushed off for 2 months later and said to my team, like, I can still work. I can still do what I do, but maybe we can lessen my schedule just a little bit by like a patient a day. Maybe I don't have as intense of a schedule. And maybe there's a couple podcasts we can get off my plate because I'm feeling real tired. I'm not slut now, you know. Now I have a cast on, a soft cast. I was told when I went to the orthopedic surgeon, undeniably, that the only fix for this elbow was surgery. At which point I responded back, no. So when I broke the elbow, when I fell, I walked into the house. I was cold. It was really cold out. And Ian wanted to get ice because our training and in emergency medicine is there's something like that and get ice. And I appreciated that he went to help me. But yet I knew, even though I was in shock, even though I really couldn't think straight, there was something inside me, my heart, that said no. And I started to really listen to her because I know Ian was trying to help me, but all my training in the last 5 years about fascia and lymph said no ice. No, I'm cold right now. I am constricted. My nervous system is completely in shock. The last thing I need to do is constrict more of my blood vessels. I said, I need to listen to my body and I need to take a shower. I need to warm up. So I put water, which is very healing for me, all over my body as I showered. And as I came out, I said, no, this is fascia, and I need to really work on the fascia. Now, what I'll say is that that's when you're a dangerous patient, when you're your own physician. Like, I do teach self-care over healthcare, but I also wanted to caution you to don't do what I just did, which is ignore to maybe go get an x-ray and see if I broke it. So I did my own test on myself, and I determined that, no, it wasn't broken. And I did reach out to my good friend, Deanna Hansen, and through Zoom. She's a physiotherapist from Canada that created the blocks and the block therapy. And she and I determined that it wasn't broken. By the way, 2 or 3 months later, when we were physically together, we also determined my tolerance of pain is higher than most. And I probably shouldn't have done the own test on myself and done an x-ray. So once I found out it was broken, I did negotiate and advocated for myself, even though I was told in no uncertain terms, the only fix for this was surgery. And when I said no, I had to negotiate and advocate with kindness to this doctor that was only trying to help me. And we negotiated to do a soft cast. And so I did a soft cast for a week or 2-3 weeks, kept doing x-rays to make sure it stayed in alignment. And then I got a brace. If you wanted to do another soft cast, I said no, but I'll do a brace, a range of motion brace. And I wore that for about 2.5 to 3 weeks as well. So I was in a cast for about a total of 8 weeks. In a straight cast or brace situation. And then once he gave me the approval that it was all like, hey, the bone looks great. It's all in alignment. Now you can start to increase range of motion. That's when I flew out to Deanna and we really started to move it and work it and increase the range of motion much faster than what was signified by physical therapists that I had seen as well as the orthopedic surgeon. So I started to seek into my community of highly vibrating, brilliant beings that understand fascia, lymph, and the quantum. And I depended upon myself. And I depended upon myself so much. It's why I'm doing this solo podcast today. Because all of us have done this. And the question that I've been asking myself, that we all ask our kids, that I'm asking you to ask yourself, and something that I have avoided, honestly, in our practice, I think, because I wasn't aware of it, which is the question of just because I can doesn't mean I should. So when I broke my elbow and I didn't know it, I could continue to go on, but should I have? I could continue to work, which I did, but should I have? I could, and should is not a word that I love so much, should or shouldn't, but it's really about being discerning. And what I'm here to tell you is that you know, right now you're looking at my regulation and I'm giving you energy. I'm sitting in a chair, I'm holding myself up. And yet my body's completely in parasympathetic and in deep, very, very low frequency. High, low frequency, meaning I'm in very much a flow state. I'm in a present being state. My variability is a little patterned because I'm sitting up and holding myself, but it's open. And what this tells me is that my voltage right now is 770. So I'm giving energy and yet my voltage is still 770. And because I measure heart rate variability so much, and I look at people's voltages for over 20 years, most clients walk in a very low voltage scenario. So it takes energy to heal. So how can we get their bodies to heal if they don't have enough voltage? That's number one. Number two, how does the body heal if it's in sympathetic? If it's in constriction, if it's in restriction, if it's in fight or flight or freeze mode. And so the number one goal here is how can we get voltage in the system? And number two is how can we get the body into parasympathetic so it can utilize that voltage for healing? And so as I put myself on my heart rate monitor on Sauna Soul, looking at my live heart rate variability, when I first injured myself 5 days into it, I got on it and I went, I'm still at a 400. I'm still in parasympathetic. I'm still healing. I went from a 1200 down to a 400 of voltage, but look at me, I'm still in healing mode. I'm still in parasympathetic. Keep going. So I did. And I continued to wear my watches and continue to work on my body 2 to 3 hours a night and work on clients and create content. And I got on 8 freaking planes in 16 weeks. I flew from here to Winnipeg, from here to Florida twice. From Florida to Dallas, from Dallas to North Carolina. Like there was just a lot of, and some of it was for self-care and some of it was for, you know, conferences and to give lectures. And I didn't really listen to what my body needed. You know, I had a good friend, Aslam Comer from the Aware House, say to me week two, I really wish, Kelly, you could just take off a few weeks for yourself. And that was the first time, and thank you so much, Aslam. That was the first time I really was like, yeah, you're not really taking care of yourself. And so I started to lower my schedule, but not enough, in all honesty. And I know that I've been absent in different, you know, I've canceled on some podcasts. I've not done some different things that I'm supposed to do. And I've canceled on clients and I've said, oh, I don't have that plan ready yet. Because I really started to listen to myself in a deeper way than I've ever listen to myself. And that's why I'm here today, is I'm gonna invite you all to do what I've done, which is a deep dive into listening to myself. I thought I was listening to myself for the last 26 years. And I'm gonna reframe the slip and slam story for the fact that I asked to fall, basically, because I asked a question in December. Everything is going so well. Everything in my life is flowing. Everything is going in the right direction. I feel so good on a physical level, on an emotional level, on a mental level, on a spiritual level, on an energetic and an emotional level. And I know this only gets better, but how can I possibly start to utilize what I know? How can I start to utilize the energy, the 5D? How can I start to slow down in order to speed up? How can I do that? I asked that question out loud to many of my friends. I asked that question to the universe. I started to ask that question. And guess what? I answered it myself. So I'm going to go back, and I know this story is all over the place, but if you're really present, you're following this, and you're really with me, you really get what's happening here. So in September, I had a situation where I exposed myself to a lot of ozone, which caused me to have a little bit of cough, which caused me to ask for something I hadn't done in a long time, which is some neural therapy. So I was going to be with Christine Schaffner, my good friend, Dr. Schaffner. And I said, can you bring some medicine with you so you can do some lung neural therapy on me? I haven't had it in a long time, and I really think I would benefit from it. And maybe we can treat my scar as well, because I haven't treated my scar in 4 years. And as a good friend, I didn't ask her to treat me in 4 years that we've been friends. So she said yes. So I was very appreciative of that. And as she was treating me, she said, where else do you want the needle? And I said, I really want my scar done. And so Christine and I have learned a lot about fascia, and thank God we have. And she really treated my scar in a different way than has ever been done before. So she took 4 cc's of Procaine and just put it right on the top where I had had a keloid previously and where it wasn't anymore a big keloid, but it was a little bump and it had been itching me. It had been bugging me. It had been bringing my attention to it for about 4 months. What was happening over those 4 months was I had just started to do blocking and fascia unwinding of my abdomen on a very deeper level. And what would happen the year before that was I started using nest scan and informational medicine to unwind my biofield. And it really started to unwind my scar on my head in a different way, rather than just treating it with a needle, treating it with information in the biofield, treating it in the whole body fascia from my belly button on, and how this all came to be. And then when she treated that, I would say that that really was a tipping point, because never is it one thing that causes one thing. But when she asked me what I needed, I knew it. I knew I needed it. I'd known I needed it for years. And I had been hesitant to ask her to do it because she's my friend. And oftentimes when we're together, it's a working experience. And to ask her to spend more time working is something I don't want to do because I know she would. And I know that for somebody that really has had to work on her boundaries herself, on her core values of not giving more than she can give, than she has. And I've definitely not followed my own lessons in the past. I would never infringe upon somebody else's boundaries. So I was very conscious about that, particularly with Christine. But of course, she was willing and she did this for me. And I knew what I needed. I knew I needed that scar injected. And that same weekend, I began to do a practice of walking in an S-curve. Some of you heard Sandy Sembler and the podcast we just did. And she and I were at dinner that same weekend. I was with Dr. Schaffner at a Joe Dispenza event. She mentioned something she was doing that she teaches clients. It was something that I really caught on to because it was something I'd asked the universe for 2 weeks previous out loud to Ian. I said, you know, I'd really like to learn how to walk like a woman. I dress like a woman. I wear makeup now, but I don't really walk like a woman. And Sandy gave me that piece. So I started to practice it. And for about 2 months, I was diligent. I would not walk unless I was super conscious of every step I took. And I watched my right foot, my left foot cross in front of me in a very divine, flowing way, as I've learned. And then Ian left for his trip to India. And my life got busier because for the first time in my life, God bless all you single parents out there, I had to do it all. I had to be the mom, the dad, the housewife, the cooker, the cleaner-upper, and go to the office and see clients and run the business and all the things. And it was 2 weeks, and it was a long 2 weeks. And in those 2 weeks, I got busy. So guess what stopped happening? My all-day level of consciousness. It was only when I was walking the dog in the morning and in the afternoon and nights, 3 times a day, I was my practice of when I was going to learn to walk like a woman and practice this S-walk. So November, it all kind of, really December, he left it November 29th, it kind of all went out the window, and I was only practicing in the mornings at night. So many of us do this. Oh, I do my castor oil packs in the morning. Oh, I take all my stuff in the morning. I do my yoga in the morning. Then I go about my day. Then I come home at night, and then I do my work. And here's what, I have so much to share with you, and I know this is a long podcast, but stick with me, because I promise you it'll be worth it. I have learned so much in the last 4 months that I want to give it to you. And I want to share with you the PhD I feel like I've gotten in energy and vibrational medicine and really understanding this game. And I do know that I'm winning and I want you to win. And I also want you to know that there's been some dark sides and that's how we win. And I'm going to share all this with you. Just stick with me. So now it's January 19th. We've been snowed in. We were supposed to fly to Florida because I don't like to be in the cold weather for my birthday. And so I arranged for us to be in Florida for my birthday and we get snowed in. Ha ha, funny trick, universe. Okay, that's okay. I'm going to make the best of it because I'm an optimist. We're going to go sledding. We're going to have fun. And now we come home and I'm going to argue with Ian about who's going to walk the dog, because what he doesn't know is this is my time. It's like my meditation. It's one of the other things I do to practice. And he didn't know that. And so when I argued to go take Isha, it was what he didn't know is I needed practice that day in practicing being present as I walk. So as I take the lead and I walk Isha and I'm 100 yards from her house, all of a sudden I realize that my left glove is missing and my hand is really cold. So now I'm all present and being, and now I turn around to go do something. I went to go get my glove, and I went out of my conscious practice of being present because I went to go do something, and I wasn't being first. I was so present, so walking, so consciously. And then I turned around to walk back to the house to get that glove to go do something. And I maybe was 3 steps in before the black ice and I connected. And my elbow connected to the concrete under the black ice and my olecranon process gave. I'm so grateful to my elbow. I'm so grateful to my shoulder. And I'm so grateful to my body taking the slip, onto the ground that graciously brought my attention to how to slow down in order to speed up. And as I worked the fascia and I got the body to get the shoulder to go back in place, as I started working all this fascia, it was about 3 weeks later, a piece of glass came out of the back of my scar that had mobilized from the top to the back. 30 years later, a piece of glass was in my scar. And it one because Christine had opened it, then I had opened enough in my regulation to start to walk and bring my right and my left together. As I practiced that, as I continued to practice that every day and became mindful of it, is one thing. When I let go of that and got caught up in the busyness and the being and the doingness rather than the beingness, because there was a circumstance that changed in my life, my husband went away, and when he came back, I didn't go back into my old, oh, I have time back now. And I didn't find a way, I didn't compensate. The time of him being away wasn't long enough for me to figure out a way to compensate a new way of life so I can incorporate all my stuff. So once again, I was just like exercise in the morning, exercise in the night rather than being in flow all day. And when I went to do something rather than be, the universe gave me that lesson. You want to know how to slow down? Here's how. Stop doing and start being first. And I teach every one of you to be before you do. And yet I wasn't doing it. And so I'm here to say the lessons keep going. And that if you don't get this lesson at the level that I'm sending it, you will continue to learn these lessons. And so hear my words, feel my heart, and get the lesson now so we can all upgrade together and you don't have to slip and then slam. So what's the slam about? Hold on. So the first lesson is be before we do. Take a breath, be in present moment, then we pump our breath, right? Take a breath, then apply our Somnium cream. Take a breath, then add our B minerals to our water. Get our hydrogen water. It's really funny how it does it opposite. Get our hydrogen water or get our regular tap water, whatever we got. Hold it to our chest and be present with it. Hold it to our hearts. Be embodied with the water. Feel the presence of the water. And then drink to hydrate. Don't just guzzle. Be present to what you're doing. When your kid wants your attention, be present to them. Look at them in the eyes. Don't just, what do you need? While your phone's in front of your face. And I've been listen, I do that still to this day. I'm calling myself on it as I do it. And that is the point. Well, none of us are perfect, and yet we're all perfect. But it's having the witness to really start to witness yourself, to realize you're not your body and you're not the mind. You're not the body. You're not the mind. You're the consciousness, the witness to the consciousness, really. You're not even the consciousness. You're the witness to the consciousness. So as I was witnessing myself, being versus doing, I thought I got the lesson. Then over the next 4 months, as the glass came out of my head, as I was unwinding all this fascia, as I was learning more about fascia, as I was learning the benefits of this mind-body matrix cream and how powerful it really is, as I was learning how dependent I am upon my Weber watch, as I was dependent upon my flow vibe to move my lymph and help with the vibration over here, as I was so dependent upon my tools of my blocks or my RRTs or my minerals to keep me going in the right direction, I wasn't listening to myself because I was tired and I kept pushing because I wanted to be there for my family as much as I could. I wanted to be there for my patients as much as I could. What does that mean, as much as I could? Well, as much as it wasn't causing me so much to give up so that I didn't feel like I was failing. And what does that really mean? Well, I'm the breadwinner of the family in a lot of ways. I mean, Ayn and I have run this practice together for 19 years, but the reality is I do a lot more of the orchestration of the business and create a lot more of the income, essentially. And so for me to take 3 to 6 weeks off to heal didn't seem possible. And yet, right now, it's the only thing in my life that seems possible in order for me to heal. I had a meeting with my team today and started talking about block scheduling. And I'm not going to stop seeing clients, but I'm slowing down in the amount of clients I'm seeing in a day and the amount of days I'm seeing clients, because I need more time to recover. Because I'm spending my days treating clients and I'm spending my nights treating myself to just undo what the day did. So how am I possibly going to make traction? Oh, lesson 497 of this slip slam experience. I haven't gotten to the slam yet. But the next lesson was, how many times in those first few weeks as the one thing would change, right? Like there was lots of symptoms, lots of pain, lots of inflammation, lots of heat, lots of tension and compensation and all the things that happen when we're in chronicity. And then all of a sudden it was like, I would feel a little bit better. I got a little bit sleep. I got a little something. All of a sudden, I'm not doing my Weber watch, or I'm not doing my self-care in some way. It was fascinating to me how the littlest move forward and I would stop taking care of myself in a big way. And it would take me 2 to 3 days to go, wow, you haven't taken yourself in 3 days. What the hell's going on? Well, you got your cast off. You got a brace on. You got the x-ray, you saw you're moving in the right direction, and so I stopped working so hard. Wow, how many of you have done that? And I know it's challenging. Trust me, there were days I was like, I'm done. I don't want to block anymore. I don't want to look at this RRT anymore. I don't want to wear the watch anymore. I don't want to do the work. I just want to move forward with my life. The only way to move forward was to slow down. And I kept thinking I was getting the lesson, and I was being very present with how I was walking. I was being very aware of spiritually what this meant and very mentally aware of catching myself of what I was saying and what I was willing to give up. And then I went to my first conference, a big conference, a CellCore conference. And I literally realized over the course of those 4 days how much energy I spend emotionally bridging for people. Dr. Peter Kahn, who I love desperately, he said to me, Kelly, you're such an icebreaker. And I like hit him. I go, Peter, that's really funny. He goes, what's funny? I go, oh, I broke my elbow on ice, you know, and I'm in the icebreaker. But really, I am the icebreaker. And what that means is that I've been severely uncomfortable in my life in a lot of social situations. I was so socially awkward growing up. I can't even explain to you. And I mean, my brother called me it for 9 years. I was in the popular group, but I was also in the geek group. I was also in the sport group, but I was also always on the periphery. You know, I was the girl that was friends with the three girls, but I was the one on the out. It was always that. I always felt like I didn't belong. I know none of you feel like that. Of course y'all feel like that. That's why you're here. I never felt like I belonged. And that plagued me and made me a people pleaser in a lot of ways and had me... Where's my value? Well, I started to touch people at a young age. Well, that sounds weird. I started to massage people and realized that I had a gift of touch at a very young age, like 10, 12 years old. So I've always touched people. I've always massaged people's shoulders and backs. It's always just been who I was. Funny, it took a friend 2 years to convince me to get a massage after the car accident. But I always kind of understood that was powerful to touch people. And I always made jokes about tension in the room. You could feel the tension as a teenager. So this has always been who I am. I just wasn't aware of it. So now here I was, 50, having an injury for 4 to 5 months and showing up at different locations and having my friends, my colleagues, and I love you all. I know some of you listen to this. And I don't take it personally. And I know I've had this conversation with some of you because I've allowed it, that I had people asking me to treat them while I was in misery, while I was literally suffering. And why? Because I'm really good at putting on my game face and moving through it. Nobody realizes that I've been in 24 hours, 7 days a week of pain since January 19th as I record this on May 29th. I have not slept through the night in those many months. I have taken ibuprofen twice, three at a time, twice. One was the first day it happened. One was about 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, because I was like, I don't know, maybe I'll just take a suppressive medication and see if it doesn't let me sleep through the night. By the way, it didn't work. Because we all go through things, and I don't want you to judge yourself about anything that shows up. Maybe you have breast implants and you've been working with us for 5 years and you're not ready to address them. It's okay. Come in and say, listen, I know I still have my breast implants and I know at some point I probably need to address them, but I'm not ready. Acknowledge you're not ready. Because you know what happened to me? I wasn't aware of, there's so many things, but I want to clarify. One is be versus do. That was one of the biggest lessons. The second lesson was how incredibly exhausting it is to take care of ourselves while we're taking care of everybody else. And that's what I realized. I kept wanting to give up on taking care of myself, and I didn't understand why. And it wasn't until the second fall in 4 months that I realized. So I walk into CellCore, and within 3 minutes of walking into that conference, I fell on the ground. And when I say I fell, I mean I slammed onto the ground. I was walking to my table, and it was like I got pulled with a magnetic pull right down to the ground, and it was a violent slam onto the ground. So I slipped in January and I slammed on May 2nd, 4 weeks from yesterday, slammed onto the ground to the point it took my breath away. I was in shock. I got on my back and I instantly knew I had done something to my ribs because it hurt to breathe. It was like I dislocated my ribs. I'm not dumb to that. I've done that before back in the car accident. So I went up to a couple of my chiropractor friends there and they did some assessments. And sure enough, Dr. Jabin Moore verified that I had knocked out about 6 ribs. And he was very kind and helped me put 4 of my ribs in. And the xiphoid was still so inflamed in that first rib, he couldn't really mess with it. And Dr. Stephanie Canestero was there and she helped me as well and continued to work my fascia as she was the previous weekend working on me. And I was very graced with people working on me, don't get me wrong. But I also found it interesting how many people walked up to me and just started asking me questions about them and their healthcare and what they needed from me and started asking me for things, whether it was to help promote something for them or to work on them or give them 5 minutes without ever asking about me. And I realized I created that. I did that. I created a bunch of people that my value came from giving them me. But my value never came from just being me without giving. Isn't that fascinating? And so that slam on the ground, I realized how much energy and emotion I was spending to be the icebreaker for everybody in all the uncomfortable situations that I create. And those uncomfortable situations come from truths. So the title of this podcast is, Can You Handle the Truth? Because the truth is that you created all this, and I created all this. I created those opportunities for me to fall. I created the slip and the slam, and I created those opportunities to see clearly that I've given my energy, my emotions, and I've let it be outside of my body to care for people in a way that I wasn't willing to care for myself, to care for the people that I've made uncomfortable by telling them a truth when they asked me a question I reflected back at them maybe they weren't ready for. And then instead of them letting them feel that moment of feeling uncomfortable, letting them sit with it, I instantly try to make them feel better. I rub their shoulders. I tell them it's okay. Maybe I offer to work on them. Maybe whatever emotional or energetic signaling that I was doing was I was feeding them rather than letting them feed themselves. My job isn't to heal them. My job is to facilitate their healing as a practitioner. My job isn't to find all the dissonance. My job is to help you reflect back your own dissonance so you can start to see it, so you can start to heal it. Because the one of the many things I've learned is that you can't heal anything you're not willing to feel. And I have a very new relationship with pain. I've tried to avoid pain and surgery my whole life, and I have absolutely avoided surgery. They told me back surgery, I said no. They said arm surgery, I said no. That was on my arm 10 years ago. They said elbow surgery, I said no. And I have proven it time and time again that the body does heal itself and that it does absolutely maintain self-care. But I've also, in this last 4.5 months, I would say I've gotten a PhD in energetic vibrational medicine, and that the deep level of awareness that it takes to catch ourselves so that we're constantly present to every step we take and every breath we take. And that's the truth that's hard to handle, that we created every single thing that's happening in our lives, and it's happening for us, for our highest good, to bring our awareness and our attention to the darkness, to the dark side of us, that what we're not willing to look at. And there are placeholders, there are bookmarks in our fascia, whether those are cavitational surgeries, those are scars, those are not cavitational surgeries, cavitational locations, whether those scars, whether those are adhesions, pathogens, toxicants hiding in the tissues that are placeholders for the emotional traumas and dramas of which you mostly are is emotional frequency being. You are a frequency being that feels frequencies that then stimulates emotional responses from previous experiences of previous frequency inputs that allow you to save and protect yourself. And that's what emotions are there for. But a lot of the emotions are no longer needing to survive to help us protect and serve us from the level of protection that we're supposed to feel our emotions and lead with our hearts and let everybody know how we're feeling and having it be okay. I'm tired. I'm tired feeling limited in my left arm. I am very fucking tired of it. And not admitting to that was one of the reasons I wasn't healing as fast as I could. Not admitting that it was going to be hard to take off 3 months and the financial responsibility I felt for my team and all the things that I have, that I didn't feel like I could take that time off and care for myself. Admitting that 4 months later is even hard now. There was no way I could have admitted it then. But now I say to my team, if I don't take off more time, I'm never going to get through this. So I have to take off time in order to get through this. I've got to go to that training and I've got to reschedule those clients. And I'm sorry, but that's what I need to do for my care. And all this has made me a better practitioner, and all that's made me a better mom, and all that's made me a better life partner, and all that's made me a better friend. But the reality is all that's made me a better version of me. And that's what we're here for, is to help be the best version of us we can. And I have not been the best version of Kelly Kennedy. And every day I wake up in gratitude for every breath I take and every step I take, more than ever, because I know I'm a better version of me now through this contrast, through this pain, and through admitting my human aspects, that I am an unlimited 5D vibrational frequency being that heals in the quantum and in an instant, in a moment. And I'm a human being in a 3D version, and time is what I've decided to live in. And time and I have been in a serious conversation since basically my conception, because I was supposedly 6 weeks late, and supposedly, I mean, I say supposedly because that just seems so ridiculous to me, having a child that was 17 days late. Who the hell's waiting 6 weeks to have a child late? I don't know, Mom. I don't know how you did it. But it was a different age. But I was 6 weeks late. Then they tried to induce her 3 times, and then they still had to do a C-section. So knowing the emotional components in time, I've had that discussion, done a lot of emotional work. Myself in time, because of that, even say this podcast, it's going to be 30 minutes and now it's an hour in. Time and I have a relationship, and I'm learning to live within its relationship and learning to love the time that I've been forced to slow down and forced to have a new perspective and forced to be slammed and slip on the ground, and allow that to help me have even more faith and trust in this experience of being human and the divine timing and the divine aspects of us that actually heal on every level, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. And I've been so waiting for my physical healing while energetically I wasn't healing. And why wasn't I not healing energetically? Because I was leaking my energy. I was leaking it out to every one of my friends, to my husband, to my son, to every one of my patients, because I was trying to help them avoid being uncomfortable. Okay, maybe with the exception of Silas. He would agree. Because I know that being uncomfortable is how you grow. So I'm really cool with Silas being uncomfortable to the point where it's caused a point of contention in my relationship with my husband. And I was so hard on Silas because I was so hard on me. Because I can deal with being really uncomfortable a lot. And I can deal with it for a long time. But just because I can doesn't mean I should. And so last Saturday, I sat on my husband's lap basically and just cried like I'm going to tell you right now and say I'm tired of not having full access to my arms. I'm tired of not being able to hold you all. I'm tired of not being hugged by my friends and squeezed like I like to be because I can't receive that kind of physical bear hug right now. I am tired of not having the time and the energy to create the content that I want because I feel so exhausted from doing the work. I'm tired of not having colleagues in this area that know as much as I do that can facilitate my healing and hold me in the way that I hold others. And I'm tired of that being my story. So I'm reframing and I am saying, I am so glad for this time. I am so glad that I've gotten tired enough that I'm not going to put up with it for another minute more. I am so honored to have such attention on myself that I get that every step I take and every breath I take is an opportunity for me to fill my cup first. And if there is dissonance that I need to decipher, is it my dissonance or somebody else's? And if it's not mine, I can gently, compassionately reflect it back. And with clarity and firmness, I can see what's mine, be willing to hold myself in that moment of being uncomfortable, or that month, or that year, or those decades, and know that it's okay, that that's what I came here for, to not feel all butterflies and rainbows all the time, to feel the humanness, to feel the uncomfortableness, to feel the time element, to feel how glorious it is to be held by myself, to take the opportunity to learn new things and new ways to approach this wonderful life of ours, to figure out how to speed it up, to slow it, how to slow it down, to speed it up, how to handle the truth more and more, how to truly milk it all for the best benefit of not what I should do, but what I can do and what I can really experience. And so I have signed up for a retreat and I'm going to Bali and Sarah's going with me. And it is purely for me and my heart. And I feel I'm so grateful to Isabel Friend and Veda Austin for hearing the call and creating this retreat. It feels like it was designed directly for me, to be honest. It's all about water and it's reflection. And that's what this life is about. It's a reflection. This physical body is a reflection of our thought life, our emotional life, and our energetic life. And if we don't have something in our life that we want, then be tired of it and be okay and lean into the shadow. Many of you are dealing with a deep diagnosis and chronic pain. And I know you keep pushing through. And I know I ask you to do it and keep your head focused on the good. And at the same time, it's okay. And you need to. It's part of the being in the uncomfortableness, being with it and feeling it to move through it is how we heal. And I feel like I made a big shift over this last weekend when I finally just expressed to Ian, I don't want to keep my head up anymore. I just want to share with you, my husband, my partner, fucking tired. And I've employed all of the technology and all of the mechanisms. And still there are nights that I don't sleep. And still there are days that I wake up and I'm like, oh. And it's okay to express that and acknowledge it. And that's how we move through it. Not by ignoring it. We don't. by Pollyanning it. It's going to be okay. No. And I think that's what I realized through this is that I regulate so well that I knew I could handle it, but doesn't mean I should. I can handle a lot of people's energies and emotions, and I could be the icebreaker, and I can make them all feel really uncomfortable when I bring 7 people or 12 people or 30 people together to know, not knowing each other, and help them build their bridges. But that doesn't mean I should. Maybe letting people be uncomfortable with each other or with themselves and letting them feel through it allows them to then feel whole, and then allows the healing, and then allows them to see that wholeness in somebody else. And when we can be with other people's uncomfortableness and not trying to stop it or change it and just sit with it and allow it to be, maybe that's the healing we all are needing. Maybe that's the real truth. Maybe that's what's going to be the thing that causes us to put the guns and the knives down. I mean, really, it's 2024. Is that really how conflict resolution still happens? Is war? Really? Maybe being uncomfortable and sitting with our uncomfortableness and seeing uncomfortableness in somebody else and being okay with the fact that our comfort levels are not the same and figuring out how I can be comfortable regardless if you're uncomfortable and how you can be uncomfortable regardless of if I'm uncomfortable and taking responsibility for our own level of comfortness and expanding our comfort all the time is how we expand and how we grow. And I'm still in pain with every breath I take. And with every step I take, I'm fully aware so that I don't slip and so I don't slam. But I'm grateful to the slip and slam, as I'm grateful for the car accident, as I'm grateful for all the things, my toes to my jaw, that have happened to me. Because they've all happened for me. And they've allowed me to achieve a level of frequency and a level of trust and a level of relationship with my divine heart, with my witness, with me. Nothing can knock me off this. Even the most desperate points, oh my God, I can't go another minute in this uncomfortableness. That brings me to my higher level of going, well, there you are. You're willing to finally admit how you feel. Good for you. I honor you and how you feel. I honor and respect your willingness and your courage to communicate that. So truly from my heart to yours, my slip and my slam was the hard truth. The fact that I needed to learn how to slow down in order to speed up. I needed to learn how to be firm and conscious and clear and soft all at the same time. I needed to learn how not just physically I was taking care of others, how I was spiritually, emotionally, energetically taking care of others, and how that is not my role. And that as I direct my energy to myself, as I direct my care to myself, how it helps me lift up. And then and only then can I help that other person see their dissonance and their light and help them connect the two to create wholeness in their own bodies. So it has been huge self-care, huge humbling experience, a huge expansion of my heart. When I went to lay down in bed, the second, like 4 nights or so after I slammed on the ground, I finally was home. Silas asked me to lay down with him in bed. And every night he and I listened to my Sound of Soul for 11 years of his life, as well, 5 years of his life, of the 11 years, but I put him to bed every night. In the last 5 years, we listened to Sound of Soul. And it has taken me over the last 4.5 months since I fell. It took me about 3.5 months before I could lay down with him again. So I had only just laid down with him for about 2 weeks. I went away. I slammed on the ground. I came back. And he was like, oh, lay down with me. I was like, I don't know if I can lay down. So I tried to lay down with him on the bed. And it was a lot of like moaning and grinding and griping as I laid down. I was like, oh. And he goes, Mom, are you okay? And I go, yeah, honey, I'm okay. It just took me a minute to transition to laying down and feel this new level of discomfort as I lay down. And out of the mouth of babes, Silas says, he's sucking his fingers, pulls his fingers out. He's playing with my hair. And he goes, Mom, has your chest expanded enough to let your heart fit in it yet? Have you learned your lesson yet? Yes, Silas, summoned in love and spirit, I have. My energy is mine, your energies is yours, but we are connected and we are one. I am here, Kelly Kennedy at True Wellness, as is my whole team, to help you find your shadow and your light, help them connect, help you find the dissonance and create harmony. And in the meantime, please listen to this audio. It's an hour long. And know that my heart to yours. Read my book. Learn what's really happening. I truly love you. Until next time, join me here on the Flow Podcast. We have a lot going on. I think I'm going to do another solo cast for the next episode just to share with you all the things that have changed now that I have this new perspective and I've slowed down and I'm creating all this new opportunity for you to learn more about this and have more accessibility to me, whether you're local or not. So I love you. And I got to tell you, turning 50 has been quite the ride. I don't know if I feel 50 yet, but I don't know what 50 feels like because I just feel like slipping and slamming and all the trauma to my body. And yet I know the best is yet to come. I know that the body, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and energetically that I'm in, and this life force, this vitality, the best is yet to come in my 50s. I'll probably say the same when I get to my 60s. But I look forward to all that, and I look forward to hugging you and being with you. Till next time. See you soon. Thank you for joining me on today's episode of Flow. If you took something from today's show, please make sure you subscribe and share it with a friend. I want you to step away empowered, enlightened, and having an increase in value and your vibration, knowing that your body has the innate ability to heal so that you can attain true wellness. Thank you, and we'll see you on the next episode of Flow.